Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Welcome to Let's Talk Friends, the podcast where two newbies and two super fans come together to explore one of the most iconic TV shows of all time, Friends. We are your hosts, Daisy and Martin.
Hello, guys.
Neither of us have ever seen an episode of Friends until now. Today, our Friends experts will be with us every step of the way, providing insight and their season opinions on this episode. Welcome to today's episode, Santos and Tony.
Hello.
Hi. I'm Santos.
It's the booby man himself.
Boobies.
Thank you both for joining us. And I know that Santos has watched this show a long time ago. He hasn't watched it since. So he's kind of like a seasoned person.
Watcher.
And Tony, you have never watched it.
Never.
So this is, you know, so we have three newbies, one kind of seasoned, but it was his first time watching it after, you know, since it first aired.
In about 25 years.
25 years. Okay.
Wow.
All right. So this was kind of like new all over again for all of us. Today's episode is season one, episode 13, called The One with the Boobies.
She said boobies.
It aired on January 19, 1995. The synopsis: Chandler sees Rachel nude. Joey learns his father is having an affair. And that's all it says for that. But a lot of things happened. So
yeah.
So we start off in the pre-intro scene. We're at the girls' apartment. Chandler walks in and starts raiding the fridge. Rachel comes out of the shower with a towel wrapped around her waist and dries herself with another towel. They both startle each other and she drops the towel but grabs a blanket from the couch and tries to cover herself. The blanket has open weaves, so Chandler tells her that she can see her nipular areas.
That was his favorite word.
Oh, boobies nipular. Is my favorite well, yeah, word.
Nipular area.
And she storms off.
He paused it. So when Chandler was in the refrigerator, she's in the bathroom mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes, oh,
yeah.
You could see her in the mirror.
Oh.
Like waiting.
And I really questioned.
He paused it to see that. I was like, oh. I wouldn't.
Well, when I knew that we were going to be talking about the episode, yeah, I'm a little creepy, but it wasn't about the creepiness at that point. I wanted to just pay attention to what was going on.
The details and stuff.
The details of how they set it up.
Yeah.
And I was like, I understand it's a show, but this is one of those shows where you get lost in it and you start feeling like it's real. And you identify with these characters. And I was just thinking, why did Rachel have this expectation of privacy? Why would she have walked out into the living area half naked?
With the door open. Or
with the front door unlocked.
Yeah.
Showering with the bathroom door open and then walking out into the living area with a towel. And then I went back a couple of episodes and I solidified the fact that they had no expectation of privacy.
They don't like the doors.
they don't lock the doors. They walk in on each other all the time.
Yeah.
And she reacts in a rage towards Chandler and says, you have no respect. You walk in without knocking. You have no respect. And all he could do is stare at her boobs and say,
oh, yeah.
I just want to say one thing. That's kind of an open weave, and I could still see your nipular area. That was hilarious.
And then it was over. Yeah.
The way Rachel dries herself is kind of odd too. Like, okay, all women have two towels. I'm assuming.
I don't. I only have one.
My wife used to have two, but now she has.
Oh, like yeah. One for my hair. Just for my hair.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting to. So one is supposed to be for your body, and the other one's supposed to be for your hair. The way Rachel had it is one for her waist. Not and one for her top.
Well,
but like usually girls have it like a dress type.
Yes.
You know, and then one for her hair. Towel, yeah. So it's just kind of weird how she came out that's not normal.
The second towel she was covering her top area and kind of drying her hair with the same towel.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, it's I mean, I don't know about how other people do it, but yeah, for me, yes, it's weird because I use just one towel that covers my top area, my bottom area, and I just wrap myself, and then I have a separate towel for my hair.
But the camera, though, also did, and I didn't tell him to pause it, because she originally had the towel around this way, like around her shoulders. Mm-hmm. But then when Chandler brought up how he saw boobies, then the towel went up this way. Mm. Then she grabbed for the blanket.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like confused.
Yeah. All right. So then we have the intro. And then we start off the episode at Central Perk. Phoebe is with her boyfriend. They're talking to Rachel and Monica. Phoebe wants her boyfriend, Roger, to tell the story of one of his patients, but apparently she tells it for him. Phoebe then tells him to go away so that they can talk about him. It seems like both Rachel and Monica do like him for her. Mm-hmm. Phoebe tells them that for a shrink, he's not too shrinky.
The actor that plays Roger is Fisher Stevens. He was on the movie Short Circuit, Hackers.
Number 5 Alive.
Exactly. My favorite movie.
All right. So they go to the couch to join the guys. Rachel asks them if they want anything else. Chandler starts to place an order, but Rachel stops him and says, no, I'm sorry, we're all out of those. Anybody else? Roger asks if he's missed something when he notices that Rachel dismissed Chandler's order. Chandler tells them that she's upset because he's seen her boobies. Ross questions him and asks, what were you doing seeing her boobies?
What I found interesting there is that they did such a good job of establishing Ross's attraction to Rachel because he was just so jealous. Like, why did you get to see her boobies?
Yeah, like, why can't I?
You saw his face and I was like, he's mad. I'm like, wait, who ends up with who? And I was just lost. But
and David Schwimmer plays that part just excellently.
He is so good.
It's so believable that that's who he is. That's not who he is in real life. He's a very confident man.
Yeah.
But he plays off this insecure.
Yeah.
Lovelorn guy who's, you know, just lusting after this girl and can't tell her. It's just amazing. I really like that part.
Yeah, he's really good. Chandler claims that it was an accident and it's not like he was across the street donuts. With a telescope and a box of donuts. Rachel wants to change the subject. Chandler tells her that he doesn't know why she's so embarrassed. They were really nice boobies. Rachel is offended that he thinks they are just nice. And I'm like, what would you want somebody to say? If somebody says your boobies are nice, I would take that as a compliment. What does she want? What's
her reaction? Nice? They were nice? I mean, that's it. Mittens are nice?
Oh, yeah. Mittens are nice.
Yeah, mittens are nice.
So she wanted him to really like...
They were great.
Be like gaga over her breasts. And he wasn't.
He was being
as respectful as he could be, even though he did really enjoy looking at her boobies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we see it in the next episode, in the next scene. Mm-hmm. Chandler makes a joke, which I don't understand. So if somebody knows what he meant by this, please help me. Mm-hmm. He said, okay, rock, hard place, me.
He was just reacting to the fact that he didn't know what to say next. he was between a rock and a hard place. He either says she has ugly boobs, or he didn't notice them, or he says they're nice. He didn't know what to do. So he said rock, hard place, and then he points at himself and says,
Me. Oh, okay.
And then he sticks his head forward like he's getting between the rock and the hard place.
Okay.
But also, it kind of is like a... What do you call it? It could also be where he's putting his head in between the two boobies, too, as a mind.
I didn't think about that, but yeah, that's probably where my thought would have been.
Oh,
well, my thought would have been like that, too.
Dirty man. Wow. Sorry.
Okay, I was thinking like that, too, but my sister did think like that. Okay.
I mean, because, rock, hard place.
My head.
I'll stop. Okay. Yeah. All right.
You guys are dirty.
It's her, not me.
I hope your mom listens to this so she could see what kind of kids she has.
She will, because she knows.
It's all her, mom.
She'll be like, oh, Tony and Salazar on it. It's okay. She'll be like, why'd you say that? Mom, thinking of you. Take after dad.
And then we get to Roger's reaction to that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Roger tells him he's so funny and he wouldn't want to be there when the laughter stops. Chandler wants to know what he means by that. Roger tells him that it seems maybe he has an intimacy issue and uses humor as a way of keeping people at a distance. Roger continues and says he doesn't know him, but asks, only child, right?
Mm-hmm.
Parents divorced before he hit puberty? Chandler wants to know how he knows this, and Roger just replies, it's textbook.
Wow.
That'd be scary to know a psychiatrist?
A psychiatrist.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they analyze you, like, as soon as you're talking.
Right. So they start judging you as soon as they start talking to you, just by the things you say. Yeah, that is scary.
And he's like, whoa, back up there, Sparky. What do you mean by that?
Yeah.
Chandler, he said that?
Yeah.
And what's really interesting is how the writers of the show use that to establish who the characters are and their personalities by creating a situation like that where they have a therapist analyze them and tell you who they are, because it really sets up who these characters are in the future.
Oh, yeah. They're telling us what they are. It was really well
done, because here's Chandler's problems. This is what he does to deflect, to push people away from him so that he doesn't get too close and become intimate.
Joey walks in with his dad. He's staying with him for a couple of days for a job that he's doing. He notices Roger and says he doesn't know this one. Phoebe introduces him and says that's her friend, Roger. Mr. Tribbiani asks what happened to the puppet guy. Joey calls his dad and shakes his head. Mr. Tribbiani then asks Ross, how's the wife? But then again, he realizes he shouldn't have asked.
Definitely not.
He turns to Chandler and tells him, say something funny. Chandler stays stone-faced. He realizes that maybe Roger was right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, David Schwimmer, the guy who plays Ross, he did a great job when Joey Sr. asked him, and how's your wife? And he leaned over and he lays on Chandler and whimpers.
Hmm.
And Joey's dad realizes, oops, I messed up again. And he goes, 0-2. And then that's when he looks over at Chandler
like,
and
says, something funny.
Quick, say something funny. But Chandler's like sitting there basically now, looking within himself and realizing, oh my God, this is why I'm constantly making jokes, because I want to push people away.
Yeah. And then everybody sees it. Like, they know that he's the funny guy. He's the one that has all the funny jokes. At the guy's apartment, Mr. Tribbiani is on the phone talking to someone and tells them he misses and loves them. Joey hears this and thinks that he's talking to his mom and takes the phone from him. He quickly realizes that it's not his mom and asks his dad if he's aware that it's not his mom. Some time passes. Joey's cooking and cutting some mushrooms. He's upset. His dad tells him her name is Ronnie. He's been with her for 6 years. Mr. Tribbiani tells him that he's in love.
But unfortunately, it's with two women.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not just with one.
Yeah, he says, with two different women. Joey wants to make sure that one of them is the mom. Mr. Tribbiani says, of course. And what's the matter with you?
What I found interesting at this point, obviously because I enjoy cooking so much, if I'm sitting there cutting mushrooms and my fingers are that close to the knife, and we're talking about something that serious, I could not have done it. So Matt LeBlanc has to actually be a good cook to be, because he was actually cutting the mushrooms for sauce.
Yeah.
Because he's talking, he's acting, he's showing these emotions, and he cut those mushrooms.
Yeah, perfectly. He cut them. Yeah.
And didn't take off a finger.
I like the comment from the dad, your tomatoes are
burning.
Burning.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you're one to talk.
I was like,
That was a good response from Joey meaning. When he said that.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't think it was a crazy question of that Joey asked. Like, one of them is my mom, right?
Yeah. It's not a crazy question. It's not a
crazy
question.
I mean, if you're already cheating on her with another, I want to make sure that my mom is that one of those two ladies. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was a crazy question.
And if you think about how that character is supposed to be feeling, he's questioning everything he knows about his dad at that point.
Yeah.
Because up to this point, he's looking at his dad as, and his mom as his parents who are just together. And he realizes dad is dipping into a different sauce. It made him question who his father is. So when the father says, unfortunately, I'm in love with two different women. And then the dad asks, Joey, have you ever been in love? And Joey responds, I don't know. And the dad just really quickly says, you haven't. Yeah. So the dad is just explaining how, yeah, I love two women. And at that point, Joey's confused. He's questioning everything he knows about his mom and dad and questioning reality. So, I would exclaim, I hope one of them is my mom.
In Monica and Rachel's apartment, all the friends are there except for Phoebe. Joey's talking to all the friends about his dad. Rachel starts talking and walks over where Chandler is, and his gaze stays very obviously at her breast. She noticed that, and she asks him, why can't you stop staring at her breast? She wants to know if he didn't get a good look the other day.
Now, did you guys notice what Rachel was doing right before she got up and walked over and stood next to Chandler?
She was rubbing
on Joey's
shoulders.
Because Joey was sad and he's talking about how bad he feels. Yeah. And she's just giving him a massage. I know you guys struggled with that word in a different episode.
Massage.
She's giving him a massage. Now I'm saying she's giving him a massage. And I was like looking very closely because I don't know why it bothered me that Rachel was so upset at Chandler for being in the kitchen. It just once again just solidified that intimacy that they had as friends.
They're intimate, yeah.
Because the show is about their relationship as friends and how they supported one another and how they were there for each other like family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Joey's sitting on the couch and she's kind of hunched over behind him, just rubbing on his shoulder, and gets up and walks over to Chandler.
Yeah.
And I just found it interesting. It made me think about, well, why is she that intimate with Joey, but she's just angry at Chandler because he saw her boobies?
Yeah. Ross suggests that since he's seen her boobies, he's going to have to show her his pee-pee.
Pee-pee!
Chandler does not agree. Rachel said, come on, he's right. Tit for tat.
And Chandler responds, I'm not going to show you my tat.
Because she already showed him
her tit.
Tit.
And basically, they didn't want to use the word tit to describe the female breast.
Another word.
Because the censors at that time would not have allowed it. So I really like the way they did that.
Yeah.
Because they use the phrase tit for tat, which means whatever you do to me, I'm going to do
you. I'm going to do for you. Yes.
So Rachel says, tit for tat. And the way they made Chandler's character respond, well, I'm not showing you my tat, which at that point, if a censor were to question it, he's talking about a tattoo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he was talking about his pee-pee. Pee-pee. And that was just excellent. It was very well
done. Tit part was the booby part. The breast. So.
Yeah. It was good. Yeah. Phoebe is at the door with Raj. Chandler is not very happy that he's there. Joey is confused with Chandler's reaction and wants to know what's the matter with Raj. Chandler tells him that he hates that guy. Ross tries to defend Roger, saying that he's not that bad. Some time passes. Chandler, Ross, and Roger are sitting at the table. Ross is upset and tells Roger that he's wrong. Why would he marry her if he knew that she was lesbian? Roger replies that with maybe he wanted his marriage to fail. Ross is still mad and says, why, multiple times. Okay. Roger continues to tell him things that are not something Ross wants to hear. He says maybe low self-esteem, maybe to compensate over overshadowing a sibling. Monica interrupts and wants him to go back to the sibling thing. Roger tells them that maybe he wanted to sabotage his marriage so that the sibling would feel less of a failure in the eyes of the parents. Ross thinks that that's ridiculous and says he doesn't feel guilty for her failures.
Now, what's interesting there, it's that further character development, the way that they were establishing who they were and what their relationships with each other were throughout their growing up years. I believe Rachel was kind of new to the group when the show started, if I remember correctly.
She was Monica's friend, but nobody else knew her.
But nobody knew her.
Yeah.
But obviously, Monica and Ross, brother and sister, mm-hmm. and then the other friends were around them too when they were in their teen years and stuff. And I don't remember all the specifics, but obviously Monica had a lot of issues growing up. Mm-hmm. And Ross was always the golden boy.
Oh.
Kind of similar to the situation with you and your brother sitting here where mom favors the brother.
Hey.
Who are you? No, so like, I don't know if you remember Santos and Tony now, because you haven't watched all the episodes. You've seen a few, but at the beginning, we seen that Ross and Monica's parents do favorite Ross.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And it's just them
and
too.
Okay. And they're always judging Monica.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. So everything that Monica does, she gets judged for it. And Ross is like, he could do no wrong. And he's the good looking. And
that would be more like a Veronica and Marty.
Oh.
Oh, wait. Can we delete that?
No, it's staying on.
Blooper.
She watches. She listens. Sorry, Vero. I'm adopted.
You're adopted. Yeah. Yeah, we're still questioning that one. Yes. We might get a DNA test.
Exactly. It was weird because when it was brought up, I was like, I've never seen this show. And it's like, wait, a sibling failure, my marriage was failed. And I was like, wow. It kind of just brings up a lot of therapy questions. And this is why Roger's involved, which makes sense because it's like, it's generational trauma.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Weird.
Also, what's funny is at this point, they're establishing that Raj is kind of shrinky.
He is shrinky.
He's very shrinky.
It's got to be hard for them as a psychologist when you're talking to people.
And they start telling you stuff, and then you're like,
hold on.
You're analyzing, or like,
how do you turn that off? It's like nursing assessments. It's like, wait, you're sick because you have a bruise there. There's something wrong with you. Like, you're just not healthy.
Yeah, sometimes I just want you to comfort me when I'm sick and I get assessed by nurses. Actually, both of you have done it at the same time because you're both nurses. Yes. It's very similar. Now, I'd like to bring up something really quickly. One of our daughters has a friend who went to study to be a psychologist. And when I first met her, I was analyzing her because I knew that she was a psychologist, and I watched her analyze us, and I called her out on it.
Oh.
Mm. And I said, so when we're sitting here at the table and we're talking, and obviously we're a crazy family, we're all nuts, which makes us pretty normal. But anyway, I asked her, I said, do you analyze us? And she said, yes, I can't help it.
Wow.
Because they're trained to sit there and look at your personality and who you are and
how you speak, how you
basically judge you, but and, not. It's well, because that's what you do.
Yeah, that's what you do. I don't know. I don't think it's really judging. It's more like, well, you're doing this because they know that certain behaviors yes. are because of whatever.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it really isn't judging. And,
it's not
and
judging.
I think they did a great job in the very next scene, which we'll talk about in a little bit. They show how Roger's not really doing this on purpose and he's not taking it to heart. Mm-hmm. And we'll get into it when you read the next part about the next scene. I'll point that
because
out.
Because I want to hear what you have to say about that only because in my mind, I felt like Roger was doing it on purpose. Like, he was being judgy of the friends. Like, that was my take. But I would want to hear what you have to say.
Great. So, well, after you read that next part, I'll point out what I noticed, because it's fascinating. Okay. I thought it was just this little part, something he says, and it's like, wow, he's really not doing it on purpose. That's just who he is.
Ross thinks that that's ridiculous, and says he doesn't feel guilty for her failures. So then they kind of does tell her that she did fail. She is a failure. Well, no, the way he said it.
Yeah, it was, well, siblings do that. Like, I can do kind of better, or you can do better than me kind of thing. It's not that. It's just she's responsible for her. Ross is responsible. I can't say my brother, oh, I'm going to be responsible. I can't. Mm-hmm. He's an adult. I'm an adult. So I felt like he was kind of trying to separate it.
Okay.
Where Roger was trying to put that, well, this way you weren't putting the attention on her. And I'm like, I don't know if I agreed with him with that.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Well, it's interesting, because even though Ross adores the approval of his parents, and he kind of gets a kick out of the fact that he's better than his sister, he does. But at the same time, he's protective of his sister. There's another side to it. Mm-hmm. So even though, yeah, I'm golden boy in front of mom and dad, but yet, in a way, he does try to draw attention away from her mistakes,
whatever you want to call it. He does, because in the previous episodes, he tried to kind of take the attention that she had, mainly with the mom, away from her.
Yes.
But even when he tried, it wasn't working. Yeah. Like, the mom still seeing her as, I don't want to say failure, but like the one that wasn't doing that well.
She had issues in the past.
Yeah.
She was...
Yes. I mean, from what they've said, yes.
Okay.
I don't know.
And they start to develop that, and we'll see that in a couple of the next scenes. They actually show what her part of her problem was. And it gets a little controversial by today's standards, but back then it was okay. Just the thing that you noticed in the kitchen that we're going to talk about in a little bit, it brings that out a little more.
Monica is now upset at Ross. Phoebe says, isn't he good? Monica tells Ross that all these years she thought he was on her side, but maybe all he was doing was sucking up to the parents so that they can keep liking him better. Ross replies, hey, I married a lesbian to make you look good.
And that was really done, because it was delivered in a comedic way.
Right.
But it was almost like, at that point, Ross is like, oh my God, I did do what Raj says. I sabotaged my own wedding, my own marriage, and somehow, some way, I knew she was a lesbian and really wasn't in love with me.
Some time passes. This time, Rachel is crying. She's now talking to Roger. He then suddenly says that they have to go catch a movie and they have to get going. Rachel looks confused. As he walks out, he tells Monica, who is sitting at the table eating cookies,
oh my God,
to take it easy on those cookies. Remember, they are just food. They are not love. He shuts the door, and both Ross and Monica throw cookies towards it.
So Monica, I have to correct you.
Monica says she hates that guy and throws another cookie.
They weren't cookies. They were Fig Newtons.
Oh, really?
Now, she was making chocolate chip cookies, but they ended up eating Fig Newtons, which I didn't understand why they did that. And my lovely wife, Tony, caught that.
I was wait, there's that? Chocolate chips?
Yes.
Because she was stirring the chips.
I didn't even pay attention. I was like, I didn't pay attention. Cookies are cookie to me. And I don't care.
So we watched it again this morning, and I'm like, no, the plate had those weird things, those prune things. He's like, the Fig Newtons? I was like, yeah. And if you look again, it's a plate of Fig Newtons that they're throwing.
I just assume it was cookies, because that's what she was making.
Yeah. Well, exactly. I didn't see chocolate chips, though. Because in the bowl that stirring has chocolate chips.
Yeah.
Because Roger even takes a piece
with his freaking finger.
Like, you're still new. You can't do that.
Can't touch that.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd like to ask Martin and Daisy a question.
Yeah.
You guys have seen episodes 1 through 12?
Yeah.
Yes.
So do you feel that up to this point they have established Monica's personality for being a little shallow? I'm sorry, not Monica. Rachel's personality as being a little shallow?
I was like...
Because she came from money and she kind of got disowned and the money was cut off. But have they established it to you that she's a little shallow, that she's really not into deep relationships, and she's a little bit... How can I put it? not like deep with people. She's just kind of on the surface.
I don't think I've thought about it.
I didn't think about it.
Because that's what they're trying to establish. Okay. Who she is, and then later on she starts becoming more of a caring individual and gets more involved with people. But a lot of her personality is like being materialistic.
Well, yeah.
Being about fashion.
Yes. Right. That's how it started. Yes.
Which when Raj is analyzing her, she's talking about the Weebles.
Do you guys remember the Weebles? Yes. She's
Do you remember the Weebles?
No, I don't.
They were these little egg-shaped toys.
No, I don't know the Weebles. I wasn't sure what that meant. To me, in my mind, I knew right away that it had to be something not as deep as like Ross and Monica's situation and Chandler's and his intimacy issues. It was something less important, I think it was.
She was talking about a toy.
They're toys.
So basically, she's talking about toys.
Egg toys. They're egg-shaped toys that weeble wobble.
On the table,
they sang a song. They weeble wobble, but they don't fall down. Yeah. Right. It was just egg-shaped toys with a weight basically inside on the bottom, and you could hit them, and they would like flip and then stand right back up.
Oh.
And that's what she was sitting there and like just
crying
about this, and it shows her personality as being a little materialistic and being a little shallow. Oh,
that's what
I just assumed it was something not as deep as the Ross and Monica and Chandler's situation.
There was a palace.
I didn't know what it was.
Yeah. That was a very good perception on your part, and being the seasoned old guy. I know you called me season. I'm just old. I remember the Weebles. I wanted them. I don't think my mom ever bought them for me. I need to go talk to Raj because that still bothers me so much.
Your mom didn't buy you?
They would buy me the off-brands. Kind of like if I wanted Nikes, I'd still get Payless. But
it was the Wobble Weebles.
I probably ended up with the little Fisher Price people. Yeah.
Those are nice too.
They weren't as good as the Weebles. So what was really interesting to me, we were talking about Raj analyzing people.
Yeah.
And how he got up very flippantly and he looks over at Phoebe and he goes, "Hey, Phoebes, if we're going to make this movie, we got to go." And he completely flipped from sitting there and talking to Rachel to, "Hey, I got to get on with my life. I got stuff to do." That to me showed that he wasn't doing this intentionally to be judgy. He was just doing what he does, analyzing somebody. And he could turn it off, get up, and hey, let's go.
To me, okay, so now that you said that, to me it seems like he just didn't want to keep hearing about her. Like,
we will
always. So I thought maybe he just wanted to cut that off. Like, okay, I don't have time for this.
Yeah.
I don't have time for this to be for that. Yeah.
There's movies are important.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd be like, I go.
Yeah. That's why I think, like, maybe he just didn't care. Like, I don't want to listen to her talk about something that's not that important. Yeah. And so he made that as not an excuse. Maybe he did have a movie to go, but he's just like, I need to get out of here.
But he also worried more about Ross and Monica because he was like, the food is not love.
It's not love. In the hallway, Chandler and Joey are leaving the girls' apartment. They see a lady sitting on the floor. Chandler says, "Oh, look, it's the woman we ordered." Joey asks the lady if they can help her, and she replies she's waiting for Joey Tribbiani. Joey says, "I'm Joey Tribbiani," and she says, "Big Joey." She remembers him from the pictures and thinks he's cuter in person. She introduces herself. She's Ronnie. Joey is stunned.
Joey's speechless.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't know what to say.
I found it interesting that she was offering nips to Joey and Chandler. Joey's still in shock. And then I just found it interesting because of all the words that we have used.
For
breasts.
Breasts.
Because at this point we've called them boobies, breasts, tit, nippular, and now they bring about the joke.
Nips.
Would you like a cheese nip?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Joey says, "No, I'm okay," because he's still standing there in shock. But Joey's like, "Yeah, I'll partake in a nip." And he sticks his hand and he eats a cheese nip.
Yeah.
It's another term for
breast.
Boobies.
And my 53-year-old, but really 13-year-old mind just almost died laughing because they said nip. It was excellent.
Yeah.
In Chandler and Joey's apartment, Ronnie is talking to Chandler about the different poses people want their pets. Chandler says that if he goes first, he wants to be looking for his keys. She thinks that's a good one. Joey's dad enters and is surprised to see her there. She says she brought his good hair that he left at her apartment for the meeting tomorrow. She tells him that she shouldn't have come there and says she better go before the last train leaves. Big Joey says he doesn't want her taking the train and suggests that they go to a hotel. Joey is not happy with that because at a hotel they will be doing stuff. So he tells them that they are both staying there where he can keep an eye on them. Big Joey questions him, "You're going to keep an eye on us?" Joey replies, "That's right, mister. I don't care how old you are. As long as you are under my roof, you're going to live by my rules. And that means no sleeping with your girlfriend."
Which I thought was hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Something my dad would have said.
Totally. Well, his dad probably told him when he was younger, mm-hmm. too. And
now the roles are reversed.
And he said it so smoothly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was really funny the way that Joey delivered that. Because at that point, he starts to act like a parent. He starts acting parental. And when he said, "No, you're not going to a hotel. Because if you're at a hotel and you're doing stuff," if you watch the way that Joey delivers that, the way his physical comedy comes into play and he starts pumping his arm back and forth like two people are going at it. And then he waves his arm or his hand like he's erasing the image of Ronnie and Big Joey mm-hmm. in bed going at it. It was just crazy, crazy funny. I actually laughed out loud when I saw that. Because I could just picture picturing his dad and Ronnie, old people, going at it in bed.
Well, I was still confused, though, because I was like, wait, if she has an apartment hotel, why spend the money for a hotel?
Yeah, but she took a train.
Oh. And so obviously going on the train at nighttime in New York is not a good idea.
Okay.
Ronnie thinks he's strict. Joey tells his dad that he can sleep in his room and Ronnie can sleep in Chandler's room. Chandler shows her his room. Joey tells the dad that starting tomorrow, he has to make a change. He either breaks up with Ronnie, which he says he can't do, or has to tell his mom. Joey doesn't allow him to keep talking and sends him to his room.
He's like, "Now go to my room."
Which sounded weird, but yeah. That was cool.
And then Chandler also made a comment to Ronnie saying, like, "Oh, that's the first time, like, a woman didn't say, like, oh."
He says, "That sounds so weird when it's not followed by, no thanks, it's late."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, he is funny. We are now at the sleeper sofa. Joey and Chandler are sharing it. Joey is restless. He tells Chandler that he can't sleep in his underwear. Chandler replies, "Well, you're gonna." Joey tells him, "You know how I'm always seeing girl on top of girls?" Chandler jokes, "Are they end to end or tall like pancakes?"
And that was a joke I felt that didn't really hit. I understood it. It was kind of funny. It just wasn't.
Yeah, I agree. Hilarious. And I pictured them in mind, just girls on top of girls.
Like a pancake.
Were they clothed when you pictured them?
We don't have to talk about that.
That sounds good to me.
Joey continues, "You know what I mean about how I'm always going out with all these women? And I always figured when the right one comes along, I'll be able to be a stand-up guy and go the distance. Now I'm looking at my dad thinking," and Chandler interrupts and tells him he is not his dad. Like when they were all over him to go into his father's pipe fitting business, he didn't cave. He proceeds saying that he decided to go into the out of work actor business.
Which means he doesn't make money.
He doesn't make any money. He doesn't have any work, but he still did what he wanted to do.
Yeah, but somehow he can afford the rent in a New York
exactly.
high-rise.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah. What's interesting here is that this conversation they were having was very intimate and deep that two really good friends would have. Because mm-hmm. Joey was really struggling with the fact that he thought he was going to end up like his dad. And Chandler, being the good friend that he is, showed him, "Hey, you don't have to be like your dad. You're not going to be that way. Mm-hmm. You can be different." You already proved it because they expected you to be a pipe fitter and take over your dad's pipe fitting business, and instead you decided to be an actor. And then he threw in the little jab about an out-of-work
actor. Out-of-work business sector. Mm-hmm. Out-of-work actor business, yeah. He tells him that that wasn't easy, but he did it. And he believes that if the right woman comes along, he will have the courage to tell her, "No thanks, I'm married." Joey says, "You really think so?" Chandler says, "Yeah, I really do." Joey is grateful and tries to snuggle up with him, but Chandler tells him to get off.
That'd be totally Santos trying to cuddle up with Martin, and Martin be like, no,
you're done. Get off
of me. Oh, no. Martin digs me.
He would allow it.
Joey and Chandler do have a good bromance going on, though.
They do.
Well, more Joey.
Now, I would like to point out that Martin did not deny what I said.
He deflected.
The next morning, Ronnie goes over to the girl's apartment to use the bathroom. She says that Joey told her she can use the bathroom since Chandler is in the shower in theirs. Rachel is excited because she wants to get back at Chandler. She says, "Fasten your seatbelt. It's pee-pee time." She goes to the guy's apartment to their bathroom, and before she opens the door, she says, "Chandler Bing, it's time to see your thing." She opens the door and then the shower curtain, and it's Joey in the shower. They both scream. He gets out of the shower and asks, "What's the matter with her?" Rachel says she thought it was Chandler. Chandler comes out of his room after hearing all the screaming, wants to know what's going on. Rachel tells him he's supposed to be in there so she can see his thing. He says, "Sorry, my thing was in there with me," and points to his bedroom. That was the funniest freaking scene this episode.
Yeah.
And I find it amazing because going into the bathroom, opening up the shower curtain, how quick it happened.
Yeah.
Because the future event, it wasn't as quick. It was weird. You had to like time it. Like all the events were quick, but yeah, that last one, there was a delay. Mm. So I was like, oh, interesting.
I liked how she made that little rhyme.
Oh, yeah.
Chandler Bing, it is time to see your thing.
Yes. And later on, that happens again.
Yes. Yeah.
And she seemed a little bit too excited when she said it's pee-pee time. Like, she really wants to see it.
No. I don't think it's that she wants to see it. It's that she wants to get back at him.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah,
of course you're going to defend women. She wanted to see his pee-pee.
No, she just wanted to get back at him.
Her boobs, her boobies, why not?
That would be tit for tat.
Exactly. Because you know, when Ross suggested that he should show it because it's only fair.
She got
Chandler's
excited.
Like, Chandler's like, "No, I'm not going to show her."
But she got excited about that. Like, okay.
Yeah.
It proves that
she just wanted to see his thing. It wasn't to get back at him, because the smile on her face when Ross said, "Well, now you got to see his pee-pee." Which, she had a big old smile.
I'm surprised Ross said that, seeing as he likes Rachel and stuff, you know?
That's why I think it's just more like, just to get back at you, you should just show her.
Why not?
And she's like, yeah,
what was that comment you made earlier?
Yeah, that's right. I want to see
Men's brains, women's brains. It's a little bit different.
It is. I see it more as like, no, you see me.
Yeah.
And I was embarrassed about it. I want to see you so that you could be embarrassed the same way I was embarrassed.
She had nothing to be embarrassed about. She has nice boobies.
But men like to show their pee-pee.
Yeah, like I think it's easier. It's easier for guys to walk around naked and not care.
Yeah.
At Central Perk, Phoebe enters. All the friends are there. Phoebe tells them that Roger invited them to a dinner thing. All the friends tell her that they hate him. And this is when, you know, she finds out that none of them like Roger.
Mm-hmm.
I felt bad for her, though. Like, it's kind of, I mean, if you said that I don't really like him, it's just kind of like, oh.
Yeah,
they didn't really say they didn't like him.
They said they hate him.
An alternate name for this episode could have been, "I hate that guy."
They did.
Because they said, "We hate that guy."
They hate them. Yeah.
So they kept saying, "Hate that guy," just with a different pronoun in the front. And it was kind of like a running joke as well.
Yeah. We cut back to the guy's apartment. Joey is trying to put the sofa bed back into place, but he's struggling.
That was funny.
So, yeah. Someone is at the door, and it's his mom. She tells him she came to give him some groceries, and she whacks him on the head. She asks him why did he tell his dad and fill his head with all this garbage about making things right. She tells him that things were fine the way they were. Joey is confused and asks if she knew. She says yes. She knew because his dad is no James Bond. I'm guessing he's not a good liar. She asks him if he remembers how he used to be. Always yelling. Nothing made him happy. Now he's happy. She says she's fine, and ever since that lady came along, he's been so ashamed of himself that he's been more attentive and more loving. It's like every day is their anniversary. Joey says, I'm happy for you. Like, kind of like confused, like, I'm happy for you. Yeah. She replies, well, don't be, because now he screwed everything up. She just wants it how it was. Joey apologizes and says he thought she'd want to know. My thing is, like, let's say that Joey was like, okay, and told his dad, I won't say anything to my mom. Later on, the mom finds out that Joey knew.
Yeah.
Then she might be mad at Joey for not saying anything. So it's like, what is he supposed to do? Not tell the mom? If he doesn't tell the mom, she might get mad at him long, or like when, if she ever finds out.
Yeah.
And then he does the right thing by telling her, or in telling the dad, hey, you gotta apologize. And that's not right either. So how are you supposed to know what's right and what's wrong?
You know? I think he still did the right thing no matter what.
Totally. But
I mean, you know, it's on them if they want to continue that way.
Because if he told his mom, I did what I thought you would want.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And he seemed a little confused by her reaction that she was okay with it. I actually got on the IMBD website when I was doing the research for this episode just to read a little bit about it. And there were people that left reviews. There weren't that many, but there was one who said that this scene was BS and that it was misogynistic and that it was just wrong. Why would any woman be okay with her husband sleeping with somebody else? That in reality, she would have just gotten rid of him. But I like the way they presented it. The way that the mom explained her feelings, like he was just always angry. Nothing made him happy. Not woodworking, not making the little ships in the bottle. But now he was acting like it was their anniversary every day because the guilt was killing him so much that he was just
being extra nice.
Being extra nice and lavishing her with maybe flowers or something. They kind of gave you that impression. And her main concern right after that, she asked Joey if he had met her, Ronnie. And he said yes. And then Joey's mom, Gloria, says, can I take her? And Joey responds, with that ring? Oh, yeah.
No but contest. Even before that, it was that moment of, was she more pretty than me? Or is she more pretty? And he was like, you're 10 times more beautiful than her. And I was like, that's a mother bond, like, right there moment. So it was like he did good by doing what he did. Was it good or bad in doing that? I don't know.
For her personally, she just didn't want the other woman, the mistress, to be better than her. She still wanted to be the top
dog.
At Central Perk, Phoebe is there with Roger. She tells him that her friends don't like him. She tells him that they don't see the wonderfulness that she sees. They don't see the good stuff and the sweet stuff. They think he's a little intense and creepy. He tells her that he's not surprised. He continues saying that it's typical behavior when you have this kind of dysfunctional group dynamic. This kind of codependent, emotionally stunted, sitting in their stupid coffee house with their stupid big cups, which might as well have nipples on them, and that they are like, oh, define me, love me, I need love. And Phoebe is just stunned. She doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
She's like, What is going on?
Yeah. Well, I didn't even like how he positioned her at first.
Oh, like lay down? Lay down.
Yeah. And like kind of like, wait.
Almost controlling.
Like analyzing her.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
It wasn't comforting.
No.
It was like, because like I'll lay down and like, yeah, we kind of like caress each other, but that was weird.
Yeah.
That was just a little weird.
I've seen it a little interesting, though.
What I saw was more of that character development. Because they really are a dysfunctional group that are sitting there in their stupid coffee house with their stupid big cups. And then they added the theme joke about nips and nipples and all that by him saying they might as well have nipples on them. And then he cried out, like speaking for them, oh, define me, love me, I need love. They all do.
Yeah.
And that's what they get from each other as friends, that acceptance, that love, that attention that they so need. I don't know. I guess to me, it was like a ploy by the show's writers to develop the characters more, to inform us, the viewer, of who they really are and kind of explain their behaviors, and just to show that Raj was kind of a jerk.
He is a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like him
saying that.
When like, he said that, yeah. I didn't like it.
Yeah. I mean, we all need help. We all need love, yes. But he was just blunt about it.
And this is what made her just say, like, I'm done with him.
Yeah. Absolutely. But it also served the purpose of showing that just because he knew human psychological problems, he still had his own, because obviously he had anger issues. Because the minute she said that,
what is the actor's name? Roger.
No,
but Fisher Stevens.
Oh. Fisher Stevens did such a great job of portraying on his face the moment she said it. If you're watching him, which I did the second or third time I watched the episode, his face changes and it goes to, I'm angry.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes off on the rant.
Yeah. Yeah, which if you are a professional, you would stop yourself from that.
Learn and how to control
he didn't.
That.
Yeah. And he didn't. He spoke out. Yeah, it might be true. It is maybe a dysfunctional group.
Yeah.
But they as work a professional, well together. Right. As a professional, he shouldn't have said that. Mm-hmm. And if he really liked Phoebe, maybe he would have just said,
accepted it.
Yeah, or I'll work on my, I don't know, so that they could like me. But, you know, it's part of the show, I guess.
Yeah.
Cut to the girls' apartment. Everyone is there except for Phoebe. Joey is telling the friends that the dad is going to continue cheating on his mom, and his mom is going to continue pretending she doesn't know. Ross asks if he's okay. Joey replies, yeah, I guess. After a certain point, you gotta let go. Even if you know better, you have to let them make their own mistakes. Rachel says, just think, in a couple of years, we get to turn into them. Chandler then says, if I turn into my parents, I'll either become an alcoholic blonde chasing after 20-year-old boys, or I'll end up like my mom.
I was confused.
Like, what?
They'll bring it out later on how Chandler's dad.
I questioned it too. I was like, did he just say that he chased blonde 20-year-old boys?
And when he first started saying that, I'm like, blonde, of course, the mom.
That's what
and
I...
And then I'm like...
20-year-old boys. What? Yeah.
That there's a lot of sexual issues in the families and stuff. Okay. And they'll bring it out in later episodes. But what really moved me on this, in this scene, was once again you see Joey being the parent. Joey is growing up even though he doesn't want to.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to be an actor and just live life. But when he says, you know, they're parents. At a certain point, you got to let them go. Even if you know better, you got to let them make their own mistakes.
Yeah.
We've all said that about our kids.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Now, if one of our kids said that to us, we'd look at him like, you're stupid. But it was just funny how they flipped the roles. This is the second time in this episode where they flipped the roles and Joey became parental.
But was this the part also where he was standing there and then he brought up his sister and he was like, that doesn't have to do anything with this, but I just had to say it.
Yeah, and that again shows that again shows Joey's character where his mind's just a mess.
All over.
That would be something I would expect from you when your mind's going nuts. You say something really insightful and then you throw something in just because it's on your brain.
Yeah.
And that's what he did.
Makes sense. Got it now.
Phoebe enters. She's upset. She tells the friends that she broke up with Roger. They want to know what happened. She says he's a good person and he can really be sweet. And in some ways, I think he is right for me. It's just, I hate that guy. So he's sweet, he's good for her, but she hates him too.
He got into her head too.
Yeah. He had it was to funny because at first when she said, like, I broke up with him, they're just like, oh.
Yeah.
I don't know, but then they're just like, oh.
They made more emphasis on right. it. Like, oh, I'm so sorry. Because it wasn't a first reaction right away.
The closing credits, Joey comes in to the girl's apartment. He wants to get Rachel back for seeing him in the shower. He opens their bathroom door and sees Monica in the shower. She runs out of the shower and asks, what is he doing? He says, sorry, wrong boobies. And then he smiles.
That smile was priceless.
Yeah, he liked what he seen. With the
smile, eyebrow, everything.
Matt LeBlanc is an excellent actor. He did very well with that part.
Monica came out of the shower with the towel, correct?
She had the full, yeah.
Well, it was more like this way.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not that everybody could see me.
Right, nobody could see.
But it was like full, like the towel was forward.
From the chest. And
she was covering
down.
Covering herself.
Yeah. Like a dress.
The front area was covered. He leaves. Then we cut to Monica entering into the guy's apartment. She sneaks to the bathroom door. She opens the door and says, hello, Joey. She opens the curtain and it's Joey's dad in the shower.
Technically, it was a Joey.
It was still a Joey. I mean, she's seen a Joey.
Maybe she likes seasoned guys.
He looked very happy, guys. Too.
Yes. He was very more than willing.
Oh, yeah. He was really happy. He's like, hey, darling, come on in.
He said, oh, hello, dear.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, yeah, dear. Yeah, dear. All right, guys. So we have some trivia questions. I don't know if you guys have listened to my other episodes on this podcast. I have some trivia questions. And so most of them have been already answered. And I feel like this happens a lot when we go over episodes. A lot of times we answer them ahead of time.
Okay.
But we'll still do it for fun.
Okay.
Our first question. Who does Joey's mom say, in an ideal world, there would be no her and your dad would look like?
Sting.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say James Bond, but that's not. She said he's not a James Bond.
That's what came out to my mind, too.
Yeah. You got Sting. Okay, yeah, right. Okay.
What snack does Ronnie offer the guys when she meets them?
Cheese nips.
What is the occupation of Phoebe's new boyfriend?
Shrink.
Psychiatrist.
Yeah.
They just call them a shrink.
It's a shrink.
Shrinky.
Oh, it's a psychiatrist. Both answers are correct. Mm. 4. Why does Phoebe say it's weird to do it on Roger's couch?
Because it was vinyl.
Damn, you guys are good.
I didn't understand that part because I was like, is vinyl plastic?
Isn't it like a fake leather it's type like of thing? Leather
and your butt sticks to it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, have you sat on vinyl with bare ass cheeks?
I'm naked a lot.
Okay.
I don't want to know anymore.
You do know you live with me.
We don't have a vinyl couch. We
have vinyl chairs in the kitchen.
Oh, no.
You've sat on them? Yes.
I am not sitting in
your chair. I'm naked. I've sat at the kitchen table. Yes.
I'm going to take my own cushion from now on.
Yeah. Or a towel. Have a towel.
Yeah.
For the record, I have a very clean butt.
Okay, 5. When Chandler tells Rachel he doesn't know why she's embarrassed that he's seen her boobies because they are nice, what does Rachel say is nice?
Mittens.
Mm-hmm. Mittens, good job. Mittens,
yes. Mittens. 6. What is Ronnie's job?
Pet mortician.
I liked her, the way she did the imitations of the dead dog, like chasing his tail. Getting the frisbee. Like, yeah. She did them.
Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah, I did like that. Yeah.
She was funny.
She was funny. What is the name of the game that Chandler mentions in the episode?
Kerplunk,
yeah.
And I didn't know what that was.
Isn't that the one with the sticks, with the marbles?
Yeah, it's a cylinder with toothpicks in there,
and you have to take them out.
Yeah,
it's kind of the marbles fall down, you lose.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoever makes the marbles fall, like okay.
No. I think you're avoiding the marbles to fall.
Right. Yeah. So whoever pulls it, then they fall. They lose.
Yeah. That's the person who lost. Yeah. So I just felt like the word kerplunk was also like, oh, Joey just found out something bad in his life. Like, so
like kerplunk. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't think
about that.
So yeah.
Oh, I didn't think about that, but that is so appropriate. That is very insightful.
Very nice.
Yeah. I like that.
I didn't think about that. And I didn't know what that game was. So I actually searched it up because I'm like, what is that? And I looked at a video on how it's played.
I've never played it, but I've seen it.
And I'm like, do they still have those games?
We should buy one.
Totally.
They Amazon. Do? Oh, okay.
You can find everything on Amazon.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you know why we all know these games, even though we may not have had them?
We've seen
commercials from what we used to watch TV when we were little.
Right.
That's why we know Weeble Wobbles. That's why we know Kerplunk.
No, I had
Weeble I didn't know both of those.
I wasn't that lucky. We already spoke about that. I got Fisher Price toys.
And it reminded me of like those.
The Jenga.
Jenga.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like you're trying to avoid.
That's exactly what it was.
For it to fall. To Jenga. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Okay. 8. What does Chandler call Joey when they are laying on the sofa?
Kiki.
Mm-hmm. What is Ronnie's last name?
Papala something. Papalanamo?
Papalano,
I think.
Papalanaro or something like that.
Something like that.
It's Repilano.
Repilano.
Rep with an R.
Repilano.
Okay.
Repilano.
I guess I was like converting like Joey's last name and Ronnie's last name. I don't know. No?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. 10. What does Joey's mom call Ronnie?
The other or her?
No. The pet stuffer or the dog stuffer?
Oh, something like, yeah. The
animal stuffer?
Something like that. Yeah.
Poodle.
Poodle stuffer.
Yes. I get 50% credit.
It was an
I thought of stuffer.
Something stuffer. Yeah.
Something stuffer. Yeah. Yes, you got it.
Damn.
Wow, you're really making me think about the episode.
Well, that one. Yeah. That one I knew for sure was going to, you know, get you guys. And that was our last one. Mm-hmm. So my thoughts on this. I liked the episode.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was my favorite. There's a lot of funny parts in it, but it was not one of my favorites.
Like when they were going back and forth, like trying to sneak into the bathrooms and stuff, like Joey, Monica, and then
showing that it's still fun to have friends like that. Like
right.
It's not like it's not all sex.
Mm-hmm.
I did like that because I feel like right now it's like if you have sex, you have to have put a label on it or an identity, and it's like no, it's not about that. It's still having fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, don't make a boob dirty. Don't make a pee pee dirty.
Right.
It's women and men parts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it was a fun episode.
For me, do I want to see from season one, episode one? I don't know. I'm back and forth. But
you should, only because you'll understand a little bit more. Because I think if I would have just seen this one without seeing any of the other episodes, I would be more confused than I am. You know, and I kind of get it a little bit. I think you should.
Okay.
Yeah. I definitely think you should watch it from the beginning.
And definitely follow along with us too, because then you'll understand.
Yeah, you'll understand it.
Some of it, I mean, most shows do this where they're just like a filler where I'm like, what was the point of that episode? So I don't know. I guess that's where I would be bored with that.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe I might not. I don't know.
Yeah.
You should give it a chance. With my experience with Friends, there weren't a lot of filler episodes.
No.
No, something always happens in them. There's always a point, and they're just funny.
Okay. Yeah.
And right now this is episode 13. So there's only 12 episodes before that.
Okay.
And just so that you kind of get an idea and kind of understand, especially like with Chandler's story, the mom, you know.
Okay.
And then Ross and Monica and their parents, like you'll be able to like kind of see that. They haven't shown a lot of like Phoebe. We know a little bit about Phoebe, but not too much. Joey with this one, we learned a lot with him. And I feel like every episode you kind of learn a little bit more.
Okay.
I'll give you a teaser. Tom Selleck comes out on the show for quite a few episodes.
Oh, I think so.
Yes.
Then I remember, I think I've seen like future
episodes
versus the later ones.
Okay.
Just because they were on maybe in the middle of the night. And, you know, I don't have that I didn't have the luxury of pausing or rewinding right. like I do now. Like our TV wasn't made for that. It was just on. And so maybe, but yeah.
You should just give it a chance.
Yeah. There's a lot of different actors that do come on and then come off.
Yeah, they do. They do. So far, we've seen that.
Okay.
And this is actually one of the first episodes where Ross and Monica, they don't have long, like, line. This is has nothing to do with Monica and Ross. They have little lines.
Oh, yeah.
Little lines. It has nothing to do with them. Well, there's a lot of episodes that are about them.
Okay.
And this is the first one that has nothing to do with them. They're in the episode and they have little lines. They have no lines almost.
Yeah. Ross doesn't live in that building.
No.
Oh, okay. Okay. No. It's everybody else. Mm-hmm. He comes.
Yeah, he just comes to visit
them. Yeah, he has his own.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Well, thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for coming.
Yeah. This concludes episode 13 of Let's Talk Friends. Our next episode is season 1, episode 14, called The One with the Candy Hearts. Thank you for listening. Please remember to follow and rate our podcast. If you have any questions or suggestions, please send us an email at letstalkfriends24@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Instagram at @let's_talk_friends24. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye. Thanks for listening.